for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 40 years of playing PlayStation, like 15 years in the games media combined. Mike, thank you for joining us in the 401st PlayStation Conversation.
This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning. Well, it's about to change, but every Tuesday morning for now.
Again.
At 8 a.m. on podcast services and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to check it out. If you would like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Max, as you mentioned, once again, we're changing our recording days. Except this time, it's not my fault. And I like that. What's happening?
That's true. So, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I'm going back to school to do some IT courses.
Billy Madison style.
Yeah,
Max is going to return to prep.
I'm going to fucking wreck some...
Play some mean dodgeball. Fuck some kids up.
My parents want me to take over the family business, but they're only if I graduate year six.
Yeah.
So I have to go back to school and learn how to do sums and shit.
And the worst part is you're going to fall in love with one of the teachers and you're going to live happily ever after, which is going to be very difficult for Ellie. She may not get a say in it. But then a clown will die in your backyard.
Yeah. So originally when I applied to do this course, they're like, hey, it's cool. Your classes will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They have been for years. I'm like, cool. No worries. Awesome. I got my timetable this week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Suck, duke. Like, no, almost only one of the days we promised you.
Which obviously means that... Yeah, we either have to, Ryan has to be ready to record right on 8:30 every Monday night so I can still make it to work on time, or we just move it back to Sundays.
We're going to Sundays. But of course that does mean there might be some weeks when I have a show on Sunday and then we then have to make it Monday, but we'll aim our best to make it Sundays, because fun fact, by the way, and we'll talk about this now, mostly because if I talk about it out loud, we can make it happen, and I know he's going to listen to the show. We have been chatting to a good friend, Paul James. You know, as for those who've been playing along in the lore of For The Players, prior to Max, as well as John O'Peck, I believe. Actually, no, maybe except John O'Peck. Paul James is our most reoccurring guest. He's one of our dear friends, probably one of the biggest, smartest PlayStation brains in Australia, at least in my opinion. And I have argued for the longest time that Padge needs to be part of What The Fuck This Is, right? There are new steps in the hashtag Bring On Padge initiative. Don't put initiative in the hashtag, just Bring On Padge is probably sufficient. That'd be a really long hashtag otherwise. So we're trying for that. It's looking good, because I was thinking about it, Max, you know, where this is about, as our good friend Sean in the chat mentioned, 401. This is the 401st episode of this show. Now, aside from when you joined and then COVID happened and we had to go online, not much has really changed in the show. It's kind of the same. I get more cynical and then I get really upbeat, like some weeks like I am today, which is the kind of opposite to who I was last week. You know, difference? No Ritalin this evening. I'm just fucking chaos energy. We need something. You know, we had Max come in. Huge shift. Great change. Awesome. Thinking maybe we can get Padge in. Might have to have seasonal Padge. Comes in for a little bit when the AFL's not all doing AFL things. And so on and so on. But I think it'd be a good dynamic. We'll have to fucking be tight for time because I have a feeling the three of us will get super chatty.
We'll have to start earlier.
Yeah, we'll just have to start earlier. It's the only way. Because you got to go to work. But that should be fun. I'm quite excited for that if it does happen. Last night, time of recording, I recorded an episode of Patched with Padge, and we essentially just had a big deep dive into like the industry side of PlayStation for a couple of hours, and it was awesome, and I really, really enjoyed it. Not to say that, Max, you know, I don't enjoy talking PlayStation nonsense with yourself. However, like...
I'm sensing there's a but.
The but is, I don't know, Padge and I have a different way of talking about the industry, but you're just like, I don't know, I don't fucking care. Where he and I have the same fucking tism trait about like this one particular part of the business, but so it was really fun, and I think it'd be a great addition if it were to go down, even if it's in a part time basis, which should be good. Because speaking of Padge, let's get into the section we talk about what we have been playing. Max, you have been playing quite a lot with Padge, actually.
Yeah, so following on from, I think it was last week when the announcement came out that EA was shutting down the Anthem servers and it would be no longer playable. Padge was like, hey, I haven't finished it. I should probably go back. I said, hey, I've got it installed. I've been dabbling with it again. If you want someone to just run through shit with you, let's fucking do it. So over the course of 3 nights, we finished it.
Nice. That's a meaty campaign.
Now, granted, I think I was doing 3-hour sessions and then Padge was doing a bit more after I left for work. At one point, he sent me a message about 4 hours after I'd left going, okay, I finally finished that quest step. I'm good to go tomorrow. <I'm> like, cool. because at a certain point in the game realizes that it hasn't introduced you to free play at all. So it's like, we want you to go and look at these 4 locations, but you can't get into these locations until you do some set of quests for each of these locations. Some of them being like, get 50 melee kills, open 20 chests, do some other bullshit. Each of them had about 3 or 4 steps. Now, by the time you get there, you've done most of them. It's not too bad. Except for the chess one. The chess one is a really big fucking issue because the game promotes you to play in a team, but it only counts for the person who opens the chest.
Oh, God.
Now, because I had already done it, I could access these areas straight away. So I just said to him, let me know when you're done farming. I'm going to go work. we'll pick this up later. Here's a map of where all the chests spawn out in free play. just run a fucking loop for a little while. You'll be fine. Because I was playing as part of Padge's crew, I didn't see any of the cutscenes that were happening in Fort Tarsus. So I completely skipped all of the story again, having not played it since it launched back in like 2021 or whenever the fuck it came out. I still don't know what's going on. All I know is that the Anthem is a song, not a thing or a place or a being. It moves me. And then obviously all I could think about was the song, the Anthem.
I went there immediately and I was like, did it make you want to throw your hands up?
But the game, despite its many and egregious flaws, it is kind of fun to play. The moment to moment of just flying around, fucking shit up, is really fun. But everything else of it is hot garbage. Like, the character models suck, the dialogue fucking sucks. The fucking user interface is terrible. Trying to find objects is asshole. The way the quest progression works is atrocious. There's just so much wrong with it for a BioWare game. It's crazy.
And I love that both you and Padge were like, yeah, it's run this game. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, why not, eh? Well, here's a list of things why this game sucks, but yeah, let's go run it.
Well, I now have a max level character, level 30, and it only took me like 20 hours.
Nice. But are you close to a plat? Sneak a little platinum out of it?
I can't be fucked. Fuck that noise.
Well, seeing as they're shutting it down, it'd be a cool little thing to have up, you know, up your sleeve.
It would, but nah. Seems.
Is it a difficult one, or is it just timely?
Probably not. It's probably just tedious. A lot of it's
Anthem
just
sounds quite tedious as a package, so I imagine it would make sense. Seems on brand.
Which is a real shame because I really wanted it to do well, like an Iron Man space magic BioWare game. It's like ticked all my boxes, and then it's just bumhole.
Because I never bought the game. I remember playing, there was like the demo or the beta or something, and I quite enjoyed playing what was ostensibly the Hulkbuster.
Yeah,
that's the one I just enjoyed. Rogue, douche, just like fucking shit up. That was really fun. But yeah, because in the chat, Mute jumps in and goes, Anthem, that's the one with the long, strange dialogue. And I do remember the dialogue being weird, but I couldn't tell you what it was. So what's he referencing?
A lot of stuff. Like, for the most part, you're essentially just a freelancer doing tasks for other people. And it's just like, hey, I found these fucking magical manuscripts. Can you help me find the rest of them? And like every mission structure is the same. It's you fly off from Fort Tarsus, you go to point A, you kill a bunch of mobs, you scan the object, you move to point B, you kill a bunch of people, you scan the object, you go to point C, kill a bunch of people, scan the object, then there might be a boss or it just ends.
Cool.
Like sometimes there's just no big boss at the end of a mission. It's like, oh, we're done now. Okay.
And
cool.
Credits, yeah. Oh, fuck, you know. That's a damn shame. That's what that is. A damn shame.
I had fun playing it with Padge, but like, substance wise, the game, I think by the end of it, he was like, I'm just button mashing through the dialogue. He's like, I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very similar to how I play, like, Elder Scrolls Online. Like, couldn't I? Could you fuck what's happening? But you want me to go stab a thing? I'll go stab a thing. Easy done.
Mm.
But a game that you and I have been playing this week, not like in, you know, not together in the same way that you and Padge have been having good Anthem time. You and I have both been playing Shadow Labyrinth.
Yeah. Let me pull up my thingo.
What are you pulling up?
My little doohickey.
What doohickey? Riveting podcast, by the way.
Oh, I know, right?
Well, okay, either way. So, big shout out to the team over at Bandai Namco / Square Enix Australia for providing Max High the review code for Shadow Labyrinth. What is interesting about this game is kind of hard to explain. So it is... if any of you ever watched the Amazon Secret Level miniseries, there was an episode about Pac-Man, which is this little, you know, little yellow ball thingy chasing folk and munching on them, and it's an interesting fucking piece of TV. Well, that's a game now, and it is a side-scrolling Metroidvania with a really interesting little art style, but made me think of like Child of Light, but Pac-Man's involved.
Yeah, so this year is the 45th anniversary for Pac-Man. So it's kind of like a an homage to that. But yeah, it's essentially just a Metroidvania where you play as, I want to say number 8, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
And you have a companion named Puck, who is the aforementioned yellow orb of...
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Yes, Hadley.
Oh, Hadley heard Pac-Man. Buck waves.
Yeah. So I assume I'm probably a little bit further through.
Wait, no, because he's the puck. I thought he was waving at Hadley. I'm like, oh, that's nice of him, but no, I forgot he's the puck.
He's the puck. Yes. Swordsman number 8. And essentially you are tasked with traveling with Puck on this alien planet.
This drastically changes the game for me now that I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna think about Puck when I'm playing this game now.
No, it's not a full price game here either. It's a $40
Yeah, it's
game.
It's not very much. It's like $39.95
Yeah. Yeah. So the gimmick here is that when you beat a boss, Puck inhabits you, and then you a Pac-Man out, and he goes nom nom nom, and then you gain some form of power up or ability. So I'm now three or four bosses deep. I'm in the third biome. I've managed to buy some upgrades and do some stuff. I have defeated, I think it was the orange ghost. I can't for the life of me think what the orange ghost's name is.
Billy or Billy or Patilly or something.
Blinky Pinky.
Oh, that's right. Blinky Pinky and Stinky or whatever. And
but they're called G-Dash Hosts.
Nice.
Because it's all sci-fi and fancy. The game's fun. My only qualm with it at the moment is the dash takes too long to kick in.
Yes.
So the iframes are just butthole sometimes. Yeah. You go to dash through something so to dodge it, and it's just like, no. And I'm like, clearly that should have not hit me, but whatever. The other stick to it is, obviously, like most Metroidvania.
Now, the Reverend Puckman has jumped in. Sorry to cut you off there, Max, because it's important. Pokey / Clyde is the orange one. The Puck would know the name of the ghost or the G-host.
So with most, you know, 2D Metroidvanias, you have omnidirectional attacking. But when you attack down, there is no downward attack if you're not in the air. What you do instead is you essentially have like this magical fist that allows you to wield the sword and you stun enemies.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like, you know, combo break them. But it's just like any other Metroidvania hack and slash. You find stuff in the map that I want to do that I can't do yet because I have to come back to them later because I haven't got the upgrade or the item or the whatever. I still don't know what's going on yet. It very much drip feeds you why you're here, what you're doing, what the end goal is. But if you have seen like you mentioned, the Amazon Prime secret level episode called Pac-Man Circle, that apparently serves as a prequel to this, where essentially Pac-Man just uses someone to gain in power and strength to escape whatever prison he is locked up in.
Which, as we know, you know, Pac-Man is normally in like a prison-like structure, munching on little pills and chasing ghosts. But I used the example of Child of Light, but I think I'm on the wrong one. I just did a quick Google. There's one that's like a little mouse, and it's like a little side scroller, little thingy, and because the art style of this game is it feels like marionettes, right? Where there's, you know, they're very stiff in the middle parts, and it's all at the joints. Fuck, what's it called? Shit me to tears now, but it's not Child of Light. Because Child of Light, it was the EA Arts, or no, Ubi Arts thing back many, many years ago. Either way, I quite like it.
I'm sure it was a PlayStation Plus title.
The one I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it help me? But yeah, so like for me, what I'm enjoying about this game, Max, and I think it does sort of connect up with it was Child of Light. Yes, I shouldn't doubt myself. Should back myself more. As you mentioned, it is essentially a very paint by numbers sort of standard Metroidvania like experience with the gimmick of Pac-Man. But granted, I've only played like an hour of it so far, but for that reason, like, I'm kind of intrigued by it. Like, I actually played a lot of it on the Portal. Because I'm like, oh, this feels like a good Portal game.
Available on Switch as well. It'd be a great Switch game.
It would be a fantastic Switch game. But, yeah, very similar to how, like, Dead Cells was for me. Dead Cells, I played a fuckload of that on my Switch back
in the day. Yeah, obviously this very different, but not being a roguelike.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? In terms of like, it's a very similar experience of like what makes that game great is the same reason I think make this game great. like there's a lot of very similarities to say Hollow Knight, like, you know, the little little fucking pillar, what are they called, little like save points, you know, same thing, look up, whatever. Once again, all those Metroidvania sort of staples. But yeah, and then like what I appreciate about it as well, granted, we were kind of provided a review code, but we did mention earlier that it's quite a low entry price of only $40 Australian. So that's really, really good. And I think that's absolutely fair. I think it's about $40, isn't it? Either way, it's around about $40. That is quite a reasonable price for what you're getting. If this was to be like a $90, you know, Pac-Man game, I'm certainly not there. But it does feel like a good middle of the range.
It's $40 bang on, or $60 for the deluxe edition.
Well, how's that memory? Once again, should back myself. Yeah, it feels like that good sort of. I'm trying to think of another sort of example game that you'd want to just sort of pick up and play for a little while, enjoy it, and you're not going to spend a lot. Yeah, it's not spend a lot of money, but you get a good kick out of it. Yeah, I quite like it. I spent probably a bit more time with it in the future. Speaking of spending more time with it, Death Stranding 2, still going at it. Max finished it about 4 years ago at this point. Look, life's been doing life things. You know, this week, you know, fucking shit got stolen out of my house. So that was fun. Granted,
it'll come out on PC before you finish it.
Yeah, probably. But you say that, where right now I am 22 hours deep into the game. Allegedly, I should be really close to finishing it, according to Max's time. But I'm about halfway across Australia at this point.
Well, Sam is better than you, I guess.
Look, that is very true. probably in many ways. But I'm enjoying it still. We've just got the... remember, it was something that was available in the first game as well. The thing that picks up the cargo for you as you're driving it through. Mm. So as I don't have to get off the... You know, with my love of parcel picking up, because I mentioned maybe last week before, I'm genuinely having such a good time playing Parcel Simulator or OzPost Simulator, literally, in the world of Kojima. So if I just spend the next fucking 40 hours just picking up lost cargo, I'd be very happy. But now it sounds like dumb shit's about to go down, so I'm very keen for that. The PS5 game percentage is pretty accurate, says Sean Levitt. I have to check it what it was. I don't remember what it last said. I know that the timing on that one's off. I'm going by the in-game timer, which says I'm about 22 hours. But apparently that one is just counts even if you're just sitting at the menu or whatever. So that may be a bit of information that's worth considering when it comes to that. Additionally, yeah, getting the little sticky gun that allows me to pick stuff up, super happy. Interesting, seeing more things around tomorrow. That's cool. A lot of couple 5-star distribution centers, but yeah, this training is fantastic. Is there anything else you're playing this week, Max? Or because I got a couple more on my sleeve.
No, not really. I mean, I spent a lot of my Saturday night playing Mario Kart World Tour with Ali.
Just I was going to say, Hadley, you still got your no Hadley rule?
She was in bed. No, me and Ali were just in free drive, knocking out all the P-Switch challenges and collecting all the Princess Peach medallions and all the other collectibles and nonsense that's scattered throughout the fucking world, with no way of really checking them off because there's no fucking checklist or point of interest that shows you where they all are and which ones you've done and where you've been. It just says you've done 49 of them. I'm like, cool, where?
That's Nintendo.
And I have to do it to unlock mirror mode races, and you've got to do 100 P-Switch challenges.
Gross.
yep.
But that's all yours?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't been playing much, man.
Excellent.
I've just been doing Anthony. I deleted Destiny 2 off my console. That was a big It's a big right in the feels.
That is a huge one.
A huge weight off my PlayStation shoulders. 200 gigs just freed.
How is that? Like, because, like, once again, like, we're overselling it, but we're also kind of underselling it. Like, Destiny is a game that you have been playing for the better part of a decade, and for the first time in that time, you've gone, no, I'm done. You are the last person standing in your fire team.
A lot of my fire team left at the end of Destiny 1, started Destiny 2. And then for the longest time, I was just playing in pickup groups with one other friend. And yeah, both of us have kind of went, you know what? When the light and dark saga ended, we were like, yeah, this is, we can step away now. That was it. Yeah, that was the end game. Until Destiny do their Secret Wars and do a soft reboot, I guess I'm done for now. That's right. That's when they did it, right?
Yeah, Secret Wars is the next thing. Yeah.
Secret Wars rebooted the timeline.
Yeah, it's where they clashed all the multiverses together. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Nailed it.
Yeah. Timely reference. All right. Let's get into the old bits and simulation corner. Because that's what I play. So I got a couple this week. As I mentioned, I have been playing a bit more of Farmer's Life, which is this that janky as fuck Euro. I was gonna say Euro trash, but not quite. Yeah, Euro jank sort of double A experience. It's still shit, and I love it. I'm a lot further in it now as I sort of properly sat with it and tinkered about. Last time I mentioned that I kind of got a little bit lost and I couldn't find I had to find my parents' grave to like clean it. I assumed that it was at the graveyard next to the church. When I went there was nothing to clean up. However, when I opened the letter that I received to initiate the quest, then suddenly it appeared in front of me. So I was able to do that and then progress further. So now that I've got that in mind, I've now sort of drifted into the more open section of the game where I'm able to pick up quests and missions from townsfolk. And many of them are quite straightforward. It's just go do a thing. And you don't even have to return them or give them something most of the time. It's just, did you do it? Yeah, cool. Well done. Congratulations. You know, like, I don't seem to get any money or any like benefit out or any reward other than just you did it. But I am having a lot of fun really locking in into the farm side of life because although there is quite an extensive written tutorial system, like, hey, it's here, you know, like any good sim, it's like, here are all the beats. There's not a lot of hand-holding throughout. And once I sort of clicked on that's where the game was going, I was like, okay, I'm really going to have to think about this because I don't have a lot of money, but I need to go buy all the tools to get my farm started, which allow me to then grow some shit. Because money's super tight and there's not an immediately easy way to make money that I'm seeing, it's kind of making it feel like I'm having to scavenge my way through all of it. And I'm finding that entertaining. As I said, still jank, but love it. The other out of the three was a game called a Figurine Shop Simulator or something along the lines of that. Ostensibly, it was in the same way that I've enjoyed my trading card game simulators and my supermarket simulators. This one's about a shop that sells minis. That's why I clicked on it. On Keymail and was like, that looks rad. And Max, there's some cool things about it, obviously, selling cool minis. Now, this game is in early access, so it's actively being built. I pretty much got all of the main missions together in about an hour, not even. But the novelty in it, in the same way that the novelty in the trading card game simulator was that you get to open all the packs and then you get to sell them individually and you kind of want to get the collection together, I get to paint the minis in the game. Now, this is someone who hasn't actually painted minis in real life in way too long. And I always say, man, I need to paint more minis. So I'm like, here's a game that I don't have to actually paint. I can just hover over and go blah, 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 blah.
When you're ready to paint more minis, I have more minis that can be painted.
Oh, what you got for me?
You can paint the rest of my Gloomhaven minis if you want.
Oh, yeah, I did start them, but didn't finish them. Oh, maybe Phoebe could do them. She's good at painting things.
Stop throwing Phoebe under the bus.
No, I'm saying it might be a fun little thing for us to do together. Because I've got all my Horizon minis and stuff. And might be able to do some body doubling where we're like, you know, she's doing it. We're both painting minis. That could be a laugh at. Oh, that could be fun. Yeah, so that part's fun. Other than that, it is pretty much your standard sort of shop simulator. You know, shelves, put shit on shelves, control the prices, things, whatever, sell, etc. The gimmick there being that they're minis. And look, for me, the gimmick was actually more than enough. Because I liked that gameplay. Sick, I'm already in. In the same way that the other game that I've been spending a little bit of time with on the PC is Tech Store Simulator, which is me just running a computer shop. It's another simulator game that's exactly that. Except this one has like real funny little... you know, knockoff brands, which made that was one of the big thing that made me chuckle, because I thought, oh, okay, cool. If I can, you know, sell, you know, keyboards and consoles and other bullshit, it'd be funny and I'd enjoy it. And yeah, just knockoff brands would make me chuckle. But both of them play, yeah, perfectly fine. They're exactly what I expected them to be, and I'm happy for that reason. If you enjoy those kind of games, then both of these are that. Now, granted, tech store simulator is probably a little bit more of your realistic quote unquote sort of experience, in that the models are a lot more lifelike. Where the figurine store simulator is very cartoonish, so that's sort of that, you know, very different design choice in mind, but still fun nonetheless for someone like me and my brain. Outside of that, oh, Max, you know what we have been playing and we didn't really talk about at all last week, that I don't believe so. Did we talk about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 4 last week?
Yeah, I said I finished with 3.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm working my way through 4.
Because you were jamming it as we came into the call today.
I've realized I can't get one of the trophies.
Oh, why not?
Because I need to play on an online map and there's no EA account.
Oh, I'll make one.
Sorry, there's no Activision account attached to
I can make one.
Thingo.
I'll get you sorted. Wait, EA, Activision, and Activision.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
Oh, I meant Activision. I was busy processing the idea of like, oh, I could make that, but rather than actually listen to what you said. My apologies. but yeah, we can do that.
And I fell just shy of a 20 million point combo the other day.
Jesus Christ.
Or shattered.
So I've been playing a bit. I've been playing a bit this week as well, playing with James, because James quite enjoyed playing 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Phoebe got a kick out of it as well, because she's remember playing them back in the day. I'm certainly not getting those point combos because I am quite rusty. And I said this when we talked about and reviewed 1 2 a couple years ago. I spent so much more time playing Skate, so my default is to play it with the stick and
stick flick.
Yeah, so that's how I remember, like, because the way you structure combos and the way you plan your runs are very different from Skate to Tony Hawk. So I think about, like, I have to almost click my brain into thinking it like Tony Hawk, but a bit more arcadey, a bit more crazy.
Well, the other thing is, and the game doesn't tell you this, but if you grind the same rail multiple times, your balance meter just fucks off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it becomes worse and worse. So you're...
The longer you grind, it fucks you.
It's not the longer you grind, it's the amount of times you grind the same rail.
Oh, hence why a bowl will fuck you up.
As long as you hit points, it'll reset to center.
Ooh.
You've just got to... That's why if you watch people who play who do those like massive point combos, they don't find a spot and go kind of back and forth and back and forth and revert and go back and forth, because it screws up the game punishes you for just staying in the one area.
Interesting. Oh, well, there you go.
And then you know, you've got to go in and change all your special moves. So they're like up, down, left, right.
Yeah.
and all that to make them just easier so you can kind of just mash them out really quickly.
Jesus Christ.
That's I'm re-going through levels and I'm like, oh, how do I get the fucking secret tape again? For the life of me, can't remember.
I'm feeling that a lot actually, because like although I did play 3 and 4, my fond memories are 1 and 2. Like every level in 1 and 2, I'm like, oh, nostalgia across the board.
I think almost in every level of 1 and 2, I could complete almost all of them in a single. Because
I remember where it all is, but 3, I'm like, but 4 is.
Four.
We've talked about this before. Like for me, it's 1 and 2 and Thug 1 and 2. Like that's it. That's when I think about my deepest Tony Hawk's memories. That's them. And then of course I did quite enjoy Proving Ground because that's when they brought in like that where you could zoom in and then you got to control the your feet and do the tricks that way. So they kind of stole from Skate. Enjoyed that a lot. Project 8 was shit. American Wasteland was kind of fun though.
Wasn't that the one that they brought out a fucking skateboard peripheral?
Oh, no, that was Ride, and I never played that, but I always wanted. In my heart of hearts, I always wanted to. It sounded like a dumb thing that I could break by accident. But yeah, outside of that, I think that pretty much locks up all the games that we have played. So let's get to the section we call "Inform the Players." We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. It's a sad day, Max.
Is it? I don't think anyone uses this.
Look, I did sometimes.
So Sony has uploaded the final PlayStation Stars collectible. As the service begins to properly wind down, while the program will be live until November of next year for current members, it has stopped accepting any new players back in May. There'll be no more rewards or collectibles after this week. Why are they waiting so long to shut it down then if there's not going to be any new people that can sign up and there's nothing else?
Because the points can be transferred for things.
Yeah, I understand that, but why wait an entire, 14 months?
I think it's to give people the option to, it depends on the frequency of players. If they're like, you have 6 months honest. And they don't play, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, look, we gave you fucking a year and a half, all right?
Yeah, I suppose. So the last collectible is a literal PlayStation Star and includes a description, quote, PlayStation Stars may be ending, but your loyalty and support will forever live on in our hearts. Thanks for 3 years of great games, fun challenges, and exciting digital collectibles. To add it to your collection, you just have to play any PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 4 game. The eventual shutdown of PlayStation Stars program was confirmed back in May when Sony said it would, quote, refocus its effort after learning a lot from evaluating the types of activities that their players respond best to. PS Stars shuts down completely on the 2nd of November 2026. But more imminently, no more collectibles, points, or level ups can be earned from 23rd of July 2025. There you go. So you can't even level up anymore or gain any more stuff. No. So you got two days to milk them coins.
Yeah, which is funny because I never did the coin ones. I just wanted the little digital collectible crap.
I only did the coin ones because they were worth something and it bought me Bellatro.
Look, granted, that's true. I did get Bellatro out of it. So PlayStation Stars, if anything, has done that. Now, I still have 9,000 something points. I don't know what I'll probably just cash them in for $8 cards or whatever.
Oh, I think I have 6.
I loved the concept of the program. I jumped onto it immediately. I liked being hooked and, booting up a game. And once again, being who we are and what we have access to, it made it really easy for me. They're like, go buy this game. I already have it. Bing.
Don't lie. You like NFTs.
Yeah, look, that's true. I would be like if I was dumber than I am, I would have been sucked in NFTs immediately. But if I my little shelf, it's got the Leviathan axe, a Miles Morales, a little fucking Strider, I've got Shuhei Yoshida in there as well. It makes me happy. I don't look at it enough because if it extended outside of the app, it would have been incredible. Would have loved to have had it. But I would only ever look in there when be like, hey, this one's about to end. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, what else is going on in there right now? So it's a cool initiative. It's a shame, but I do wonder what information or what data they were able to collect out of the app, knowing that you and I had very different experiences, almost polar opposite of one another. I'm curious at which customer experience won. Like, was it yours, just give me the coins, or is that mine, give me the shiny shit that's useless? I'm sure they would like me more.
Of course I'd like you more.
But most of the time, many of the coin ones were like, buy this game and get coins. So, somewhere in the middle.
I mean, there was the free one every month, which was just download the PlayStation Plus game and play one of them.
Yeah, just boot it up. You don't have to play, just boot it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the boot up was a nice touch. All right. 60 FPS, Max calls this one. In a wildly shared X... No, it's fucking Twitter, mate. Post, user Detective Seeds has claimed to have sources telling him that the game is... Which game's this, sorry?
GTA 5. Did I not write that in?
No.
No.
Excuse me.
GTA 6 is what I meant. Beautiful. On GTA 5.
Let's try that again. User Detective Seeds claims to have sources telling him that GTA 6 is currently being optimized for PS5 Pro primarily with assistance from PlayStation and is running at 60 frames across, quote, multiple graphical settings. The quote goes on, as of right now, 60 FPS is being achieved on the PS5 Pro only, parentheses. This could obviously change before release, close parentheses. It is anticipated that GTA 6 will have multiple graphical options on the PS5 Pro on release. Also, the Rockstar / PlayStation marketing deal is what's allowing and encouraging this collaboration and optimization. It should see several GTA 6 PlayStation bundles in the next marketing push. This info is from a PlayStation engineer who has provided highly accurate and verified info several times in the past. Detective Seeds has since doubled down on the rumor, claiming his source is the same one who told him about the aforementioned PSSR upscaler improvements that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, which were mentioned by architect Mark Cerny in a recent interview. Max... Who the fuck's this guy? What does he know?
I don't know. The only thing that I could track down that he was almost correct in guessing was that Oblivion was going to come out. He said the 3rd of May it came out on the 22nd or April or whatever, whenever the hell it dropped. He was 2 weeks too early.
Okay. Not reliable.
Yeah, no. Fun fact, though, GTA 5 is now available in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia.
Woohoo!
10 years after its launch.
Yeah, it took us time.
Do
you believe any of this to be true, essentially?
Yeah. Look, it'd be crazy for them to... Because, obviously, the first time we saw GTA 6 was at a PlayStation conference, I'm pretty sure. And it would be weird if the Pro could not run it at 60 frames.
Yeah.
will there be magic behind that 60 frames? Goddamn right.
Oh, yeah. That's that near $1 billion they've spent on GTA 6 will be going to, how do we make this run on fucking pieces of shit? Not the Pro is piece of shit, but I mean like the range.
Did you see that, analysts are predicting that it's going to make like billions of dollars in its launch month.
I can assure you that it will do very, very well. So from where I'm,
60 frames.
So from where I'm sitting, looking at this situation, there's a couple of ways to look at it. Now, if at this moment in time, Grand Theft Auto 6 is exclusively a console game. So on the Xbox and on the PlayStation. In recent history, as we've seen with Xbox's change in strategy towards how it's working within the console market, and then in turn, staggeringly fewer Xboxes are being sold than PlayStations, it would make a stack of sense to build this to the PlayStation 5 Pro. Do I say that just because I want to buy one? Also, yes. But it makes sense. Like, they're not. Even though I think the Series X in some ways is a bit chunkier, However, if no one's buying it, if no one's using it, it doesn't matter what you're, you don't build to that. You build to the one that will sell the most. Do I believe that there is a Rockstar PlayStation marketing deal? Well, there has been in the past, but I don't think PlayStation would in any way need to go to them and say, hey, we want the marketing deal. I think it almost seems expected, right?
Maybe.
Once again, because like there is no competition, Microsoft aren't going to be like, can we get marketing rights?
What was that? Sorry.
Like Microsoft aren't going to walk up and be like, well, can we have marketing rights?
Well, no.
But also GTA is so fucking huge, they don't need to have both consoles battle for that. But PlayStation is smart. If I think about it like the average consumer, if they see the GTA 6 trailer on their television and they see it as play it on PS5 Pro, people are going to go buy a PS5 Pro because they will, for whatever reason, assume that that game is only available there. So the logic is there. Can we speak to the technical claims? Not really. But as you mentioned, there would be a whole lot of magic to make it work. But having played Death Stranding 2 and seeing what can be achieved on these consoles. But once again, Death Stranding will be a staggeringly less dynamic world compared to GTA 6. It's a possibility. You got deep into some Googling there, Max. What got your attention?
Marketing deals between GTA 6 and it's all speculative. All based on this. So everyone seems to be running with it.
Yeah, and look, because it's GTA 6. If you put that into a heading, which we probably should, might have to change the name of this episode. Something about GTA 6 now. Santa Monica Studio working on GTA 6. But yeah, I guess wait and see. But at the same time, I still want a PS5 Pro. Novelty.
Well, speaking of Sony Santa Monica, we have known for some time they have been plotting a fresh IP. As Bullock stepped away from directorial duties on God of War Ragnarok, passing the baton to Eric Williams. But in a brief update from Bloomberg journalist Jason Schreier, writing on the Reset Era forums, progress is going well at Santa Monica Studios' new game. He wrote in response to a fan query, quote, Corey Barlog's game is Sony Santa Monica's next big thing. Last time I spoke to anyone about it, about a month or two ago, it was going well, end quote. As for what that entails, it's anyone's guess. Barlog has alluded to the idea of a sci-fi game in the past, but it's unclear whether that's what he's working on. In an update later that day, Jason Schreier threw a further spanner in the works by asking, quote, why does everyone think Barlog's game is a new IP? The implication being that it's not a new IP, although it's unclear whether Jason is just having a bit of fun, knowing whatever he says will reverberate around the web, including just everywhere. It should be noted that a handful of Santa Monica Studio staffers have referred to the fact that they're working on a new IP in their resumes, or Barlog himself has not been shy about wanting to try something new. And about 7 hours after that post, after suggesting earlier in the day that the team's next title led by Carly Barlog was not a new IP, Schreier clarified what he means, quote, I'll put it this way, it's not a new IP, but it might feel like one. Maybe that's why people are confused. Please don't ask me any more questions about this. If I wind up reporting more information at any point in the future, it'll be in an article, not on some forum. And that the sci-fi stuff, quote, that people, parentheses that people have apparently believed for years now, end quote, in parentheses, is nonsense. So it's not a sci-fi game like previous believed. It is it could be a fresh take on an existing PlayStation franchise that may make it feel like a new IP. Is God of War going to a different pantheon?
No. I don't know. That would be ideal, but So what they're essentially,
or is Schreier being a massive troll? Barlog is working on a space game, and they're cutting Naughty Dog's lunch with Heretic Prophet.
That's my immediate concept. My immediate thought, right, is I know that Corey's wanted to a space game for a very, very long time, but he's never been able to sort of get it off the ground. I think it certainly was a potential, was a possibility until Neil Druckmann was like, yo, how about Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet? And everyone went, the name sucks, but I'm sorry, Corey, you have to stop with what you're doing. What they're essentially alluding to here, as you highlighted, it's a new take on a new IP. On an old IP. Either it's a sequel or it's an alteration. My immediate thought was something like this new Uncharted, you know, that new Uncharted that's been in the rumor mill for a while with the Cassie Drake Uncharted title. So my question is, like, using that as an example, like, okay, so it's Uncharted, but it's not Uncharted. What can they do to make it not be Uncharted? Because as of right now, we still don't know where that game is coming from. And the rumors around it have been too consistent. And there was belief, I think it was out of San Diego originally, but maybe someone misheard. But outside of that, I'm not really sure. Because if we were to talk about it as if it was within the God of War universe, so let's say it's connected to a current IP, but it's something a little bit different. So what if they were to take, you know, an Atreus game or something? I have no interest in playing that, even though I love God of War and I love Atreus as a character. I don't think that would work. I think even from a public perception or a public reception, I believe the harshest critiqued parts of of God of War Ragnarok were the sections you play as Atreus. So I don't think that would be very compelling for a full experience. Now, a show that I listen to quite often and I reference often is Sacred Symbols. So they were discussing around, like, what if it was an Atreus game, but it played like Immortals of Avium, more magic shooter and like a bow and arrowy sort of stuff. And that made me think about asking that with you, Max. Like, as someone that quite enjoyed Immortals of Avium, or at least liked the concept of it, would you want to play Atreus of Avium?
No, I would prefer to play a God of War game as Atreus.
Okay. Do you think like a hulking brute? As he's grown to become a unit. As we know, he's the giant, right? So he has potential to be a unit.
I don't think... See, when you play as Atreus in the God of War games, you are still very much a child, still coming into your powers.
True.
And it feels that way because you are fucking useless. This would be a what I would like to believe would be like a coming of age story of his first steps out on his own. He's come into his power now. He knows what's up. Mm. I think they could get away with it. Alternatively, Cart of War.
Son of a bitch, I'm in. Like there's this 2D Metroidvania they were talking about. Like, we're working on some God of War. They're like, Cart of War, baby. Give me that.
Or some form of, like, they just turn it into a 2D fighting game and just...
Or they... No. You remember Professor Layton's brain training or whatever the fuck? Not Professor Layton. Whatever it was on the...
What is it? Mimir's...
Yeah!
Mimir's big head challenge.
Yeah, you can't play Mimir because he's just a head on a butt. But what if you were to essentially do a trivia game, or, you know, it's one of those educational games, but it's Mimir just telling you facts about shit in a Scottish accent.
Okay, look, this is a bit of a tangent, but who was the better companion on your hip? Mimir or Dolman?
Mimir.
No.
I love Mimir.
Shut your whole mouth.
No. This is not, once again, this is ranking two incredibly good things. I like Dolman, but granted, he talks a lot less than Mimir, which is sort of helpful, but I love the sass of Mimir.
Throw Mimir up in the air and use him as a fucking aerial scout.
That's true, but I always forget to do that with Dolman. So with Mimir, all he did was be snarky to me which I enjoyed. And he would also be, he's a really good exposition tool. Dollman is also that, but you have to sit there and press triangle on him in the Magellan for him to just info dump on you. I'd much prefer it if he info dumped on me as I
walk optional the info world. Dumps.
Yeah, but I guess having it optional is probably a good idea. Sean in the chat, you're saying, I think they're different. You can talk to Dollman in the bedroom, but not in a creepy way. Oh, I don't think. Yeah, does he? The thing they ask him, does he sleep? He's like, yeah, I don't really sleep. So he's just kind of essentially sitting there watching Sam having a snooze. Gross. Pardon me. I'm trying to think what other characters I can make fun of in God of War that would be a dumb game. Blacksmith Simulator with the Holder Brothers. I'd play the fuck out of that. You know, you get to play as Brocken Sindri, and you just have to like make cool Norse. Come on, give me that one. That's about it, really. I don't think they're working on a different God of War game, though. Could tell what the fuck it is, but I don't know.
Yeah, but whose IP would they want to work on? Who else's IP would they want to work on?
Well, that's the difficulty.
Just done God of War. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, they've been an external studio on other projects, sure, but that's their jam.
Yeah. That is very, very true. But then once again, PlayStation in some ways have forgotten what their studios are really good at. Hence why they tried to make Bluepoint do not a remake or a remaster. And Sony Ben doing something dumb. So it's very likely that they mixed up and went, hey, Sony Santa Monica, do you guys want to do this game? And then they went to Ben and went, do you want to do this God of War multiplayer? Like, shouldn't that be going to Santa Monica?
What if it's like a Call of the Wild God of War VR experience? Wow. Knowing that they've never worked with VR before in their life.
saying that, though, I can assure you, the second that someone goes to do Blades of Chaos action, if they don't strap their wrist onto that fucking Sense controller, that is going through a television. It is the Wii all over again. That would be awesome, and someone will die, without a doubt. All right, let's get into the quick bits. Ghost of Yote is getting a popcorn bucket because what the fuck? What's it connected to? Like, I saw it and I went, oh, I assume... This is the thing. This is how prevalent AI fucking bullshit is at the moment. I looked at that and went, yeah, it's not real. And I just kept going. Because why the fuck would there be a Ghost of Yote popcorn bucket? But I want one.
This is why. So Ghost of Yote is heavily inspired by Japanese cinema. Sony is working with the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema to broadcast 5 classic movies, which inspire the upcoming Sucker Punch sequel. It's showing Lady Snowblood, Lone Wolf and Cub, Sword of Vengeance, the Tale of Zatoichi, 13 Assassins, and Ran. Because of that, they have made what is ostensibly a rice bucket as a popcorn bucket.
I want one. Just for the novelty of it. That's it. I'd put it on. I'd eat popcorn out of it, and then I'd put it on the shelf. That would be it. But I love gimmicky shit. But okay, it's a cool concept. I wonder if they're doing something here. That'd be nice. They'd maybe go down to the Asta in Melbourne, watch a couple of samurai flick, eat popcorn.
Why not?
Yeah, maybe something cool will happen. In an interview with Game Informer, Sucker Punch mentioned that they would love an Infamous trilogy on PS5, as would I. I loved Infamous 1. I didn't play much Infamous 2, but I enjoyed Second Son. Second Son was cool. But it is a damn shame that they are stranded. 1 and 2 are stranded on the PS3. It's a shame. FromSoft codename FMC is in advanced stage of production and could come out as early as next year. Max, what the fuck is FMC?
Well, going back, all the Souls games started with their codename started with F. It could also be Mech Warrior DLC. The big rumor mill is it's going to be a Dark Souls 3 remake. Miyazaki said that he doesn't do any more Souls. 1 and 2 have both been remastered.
Has it really?
Sorry. So you'd be a remaster for 3. Yeah, oh, two well, and my, one and two are remastered.
My apologies. I remember one getting done. I remember two getting done.
So three would be up next. It's cool. Three's great. But yeah, I can't imagine it'd be anything other than that, really.
So it's not Bloodborne.
It'll never be Bloodborne.
It'll never be Bloodborne. I'm sorry, everyone.
Pretty sure PlayStation own that IP, so I'm not.
That is correct. They do, but like the fact that no one else has touched it leads me to believe there's some sort of clause in the contract that From Software must do it. Next up, the live action Assassin's Creed series it's a series because they've done movies. They had Old Fashioned there. It's still coming, and it's coming to Netflix.
It's been greenlit probably now by Netflix. It's coming.
Sweet. I'm not going to watch it. Speaking of things I'm probably not going to watch, HBO are trying to decide if The Last of Us requires two more seasons or just one. Look, the answer is going to need to be one because the drop-off seems pretty heavy.
And they're saying that it won't be released till 2027, so you've got 2 years of nothing.
I fucking hate.
Go play the game in chronological order.
I fucking hate. Like, granted that I'm not watching a lot of series, mostly because I don't want to start something and then 3 years later. Actually, wait, no, I lied. That's perfect for how I watch TV. I really should adapt this model in life. Obviously, it sucks for you though, Max. You're way better at watching TV than I am.
So a couple of weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Sandman season 2 came out on Netflix. Yeah. I have not started watching it because it's fucking part 1, part 2 seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just fucking wait. I don't care. Same with Stranger Things. I'm going to want to watch Stranger Things, but it's a fucking 3-parter. Why?
So they can get more than 1 month subscription out of you.
It's like, they're dropping 2 movie length episodes. They say that like people are good. I would love to see the numbers of people that are like,
fuck. Sorry. Reverend Park, Veer is coming. That is a deep fucking wrestling reference. Well, reasonably deep wrestling. There was a guy named Veer and he was coming for like a month and then he eventually showed up and we all forgot.
I would love to see the numbers of like people who are ponying up to watch fucking 2 episodes of Stranger Things and then fucking off.
No, they don't. That's how they get you. You forget to log out.
I feel that at this point, everyone's got Netflix. I don't know anyone who doesn't have access to a Netflix.
Yeah, because they made us have it by a fucking second one because you can't share that shit no more. Bullshit.
I mean, if I wasn't sharing, I still had a Netflix. Like, you know.
True.
It's one of those things. It's just like, you've got to have a license, you've got to have a passport, you've got to have a Netflix account. Well, as much as there is to play at the moment, here's what's coming in the next week.
Yeah, look, if you don't want to watch one fucking 2 movie-length episodes of Stranger Things, but you play some fucking games. I don't know why that was so aggressive. I'm really sorry.
So on the 22nd of July, we have Abionic Factor coming to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 8. We have Luto coming to PS5, and we have Monument Valley.
Was that? Did Ali just that was burp Ali. Something yeah. fierce?
That, yeah, did you?
That came not, through. That cut the noise.
Did that not sound get it? Rad. On the 23rd of July, we have Hatsune Miku Logic Paint S Plus on PS5, as well as Wheel World PS5. On the 24th of July, we have Killing Floor 3, PS5, Boulder Dash 40th Anniversary, PS5, Cyberclutch Hot Import Nights, PS5, Wildgate, PS5, Wu-Chang Clan Fallen Feathers, PS5, and on the 25th of July, we have Death Relives, I'm guessing. Yeah, PS5, and Flame Keeper.
Death Relives, just in pissing for 20 minutes?
Yeah. It's a piss simulator. And Flamekeeper on PS5.
I think Monument Valley sounds familiar, but I don't think it's what I think it is. But I think Wu-Chang was probably the one that's most interesting to you.
Yeah, Wu-Chang's the new hotness of Souls-like games. Killing Floor 3 would be cool. I enjoyed 1 and 2. But yeah... The big one for me this week is Wu Chang.
Sweet. But yeah, nothing for me. Anyway, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, as always, for joining us for the 401st time. Still fucking insane that is an actual real number. I know it's a real number, but I mean, like, us as a podcast. Like, forever, I'm just baffled. I'm like, 400, I can deal with
it. I get to 399 and everything gets confusing.
Exactly, yeah. It's my brain can't. It's like when something goes from, you know, one to a few to a, you know, a couple to a few to many to, like, a, you know, a fuckload. Like, what? There's that line where I go, it's not a real number anymore. It's too big. It's too big. But yes, as I said, big thank you, everyone. We really appreciate you all. Even after all this time, as you mentioned, we will be returning back to Sunday night recordings on the Twitch if you are someone that does join us. Should we keep the episodes going up on a Tuesday?
It'll make life easier for you if you've got a show that afternoon. You can at least not have to edit it straight away.
Oh, that is quite nice. We'll see how I go about that.
And then on the occasion that we do have to record on a Monday, it still goes up on the same time. So yeah, just upload it on the Tuesday.
Fuck, you're smart. Sweet.
Not just a pretty face.
That is certainly something that could be said about you, I'm sure. All right, Max, get the fuck out of here so you can go home.
So I am home. I need to go to work.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right, everybody. You know the drill.
I'm not a smart man.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning. 9 a.m. on podcast service, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTube. Jeez, we just had this fucking conversation. Went,
yeah, just forgot immediately.
Immediately forgot. But if you want to have future conversations where I immediately forget them, come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in.
Look, I've been doing that for like 11 years, and all the years, actually longer than that. For the 15 years that I've been podcasting, the amount of times that I have a conversation and then immediately forget it is disgustingly bad. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Ha! But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
Thanks, Cooper.
And that was for the players.